We begin still trying to process because it happened real time as you just heard it, our show open. The article that Seth Wickersham and ESPN posted in connection to the book that we just mentioned about not only Caleb Williams not coming to Chicago, but all of the truths it seemed to tell in a very short amount of time and small amount of space as to A, why we see some of the Bears' dysfunction we do, B, why the last season failed, and then C, why we're here right now. I think my biggest concern, after sitting with this for a minute, is still the discussion surrounding Ryan Poles. Because it was on him regarding the responsibility of Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron. And it's been said multiple times, Shane Waldron was Matt Eberflus' hire. But here's the issue with all of this. We know whose agent was running the thing. It was Trace Armstrong, who represented all those individuals. So where is the accountability when it comes to the situation failing the way it did last year? Thank goodness you did what you could to rectify those mistakes. But you're still out a year because of all this when you saw it coming in advance.
I look at this as Kevin Warren stepping in, recognizing what everyone knew and was talking about with the Trace Armstrong piece, said, okay, we need to go in a completely different direction. And Ryan Poles understanding, and it goes back to that press conference, right? Where Ryan Poles, Kevin Warren, together at the table at the lectern, and they have mics in front of them, and Ryan Poles is not doing a whole lot of talking. Kevin Warren, in a full suit, is doing a lot of talking, and Ryan Poles, in kind of that warm-up look, is doing a lot of listening, along with us. And the idea there was that Kevin Warren was saying that Ryan Poles was going to be okay. And the reason he knew Ryan Poles was going to be okay is because he's like, I got this. You can make the decisions, but nothing is getting done until I stamp it with my stamp of approval. And then Kevin Warren having the conversation with George McCaskey saying, we need to pay someone to come in and make sure that this number one overall pick gets what he needs. We need to modernize the way we do things as an organization, and this is the first step. They hire Ben Johnson, he hires his staff, and now it's, you know, everyone's optimistic, it's all ahead. But you still have to look back now, knowing what we know, knowing what we found out yesterday from our interview and the writings of Seth Wickersham preparing for a book that's not going to even be released until September, and saying, from an accountability standpoint, so much of this falls on Ryan Poles and then Kevin Warren able to, for lack of a better phrase, bail him out. I'm not absolving Caleb Williams from any fault in this. He has a part to play as well, but it's all on Ryan Poles, Layla. Like, he's the constant, and he's still here. The only reason we're talking about it in the way that we're talking about it is because he's the guy who's still here from that.
And that's what the title of general manager is. You take responsibility. You're getting that paycheck. You want to be the guy who makes more decisions than anybody else on the team, and that's exactly what happened. Then guess what? You get the responsibility that goes with it, too. You also get us questioning why you may have already signed an extension. When there are phrases like this in this story, Bears GM Ryan Poles stood firm, telling Williams, we're drafting you no matter what. Who went to the playoffs last year?
It was not the Bears. I believe it was the team that represents the District of Columbia.
Even if you were confident in your decision, wouldn't you want to scout because that's what you do by nature? This guy is a scouting fiend. We've seen him at all these different schools over the years. And then how about the nugget from Seth Wickersham yesterday when he's talking to us as we're trying in that point and that time to process context, to process a full understanding, to know that sometimes when you read something, it's not necessarily how it is said. So that's what made the discussion with Seth so important. But then he gives us this piece of information about the Bears process, knowing this stuff that has been said by Carl Williams about how badly Caleb Williams didn't want to come here. And then we get this information right here.
The Bears were all in on Caleb. I mean, they did not scout Jaden Daniels. You know, they were all in on Caden and on Caleb. And so, like, he was their guy. And, you know, how, whether that was wise or not, you know, who pans out, who doesn't, you know, a lot of that has to do with luck and circumstance. But, you know, the jury's out. And, you know, Poles made some decisions. He let go of the head coach. He brought in a new one. He got a guy that I know a lot of offensive minds around the league study and steal from. And so I think that, like, you know, there is that opportunity for Caleb to have the pieces in place that maybe would have been better to have a year ago.
But we find out that he didn't even scout Jaden Daniels. Doesn't even scout him. Does that make sense?
So when I look at this,
when you know that your QB1's dad is trying come hell or high water to not have him on your team, you don't even look at the other dude?
One of the things I'm interested in is when that first conversation, that visit took place. Because he said he came back from that visit, Caleb Williams, according to Seth Wickersham. He came back from that visit and told his dad, okay, I think I can make this work. Don't worry about, quote unquote, nuking Chicago and trying to get me out of this situation.
And it's smartly constructed, too, because Carl looks like the villain in this.
And he said that's he was willing to take bullets for his son. He didn't want to put his son under that spotlight and be like, oh, this is Caleb Williams, not, you know, snubbing Chicago, turning his nose up to Chicago.
As many parents tend to do, right? Like, that makes 100% sense. And then Caleb looks like the hero because he's like, oh, I got to check it out. I don't think that's a good idea.
But to your point, Layla, about them not scouting anyone else, I can understand, because some years you don't think you need to know what other people can do because you believe you've got the franchise quarterback, but it's quarterback. And so what you got to remember is if we go back to 2015, okay? So that's going back now through the last 10 drafts, 11 if you count this year and Cam Ward. Of the number one overall picks of the last 11 drafts, only two were non-quarterbacks. Trayvon Walker with the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2022 and Myles Garrett with the Cleveland Browns back in 2017. But follow me on this. So you've got the number one overall pick. And when you have the number one overall pick and you take a quarterback, you think you have your cornerstone, the franchise quarterback. But let's go back through it. 2015, it was Jameis Winston taken by the Buccaneers. 2016, Jared Goff taken by the Los Angeles Rams. 2018, Baker Mayfield taken by the Cleveland Browns. 2019, Kyler Murray by the Arizona Cardinals. 2020, Joe Burrow from Cincinnati Bengals. 2021, Trevor Lawrence by the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then, of course, you have in 2023, Bryce Young, followed by Caleb Williams, and now Cam Ward. And so all those teams thought that they had the guy. That
doesn't mean you don't scout at other people.
And that's my point. Some of those guys, it worked out. Joe Burrow, I'd say it worked out. Jared Goff, after some rehab, it worked out. But those are really the only two guys you could say, like, okay, those guys at a high level, highly winning teams, great seasons of success for those individual quarterbacks. The rest of the guys, they're still trying to figure it out in different places.
Well, but if I make a $5 decision, there's a good chance I'm doing some research.
That's you, though.
Yeah, that is me. And I would sure as hell think it's the general manager of a team.
But think about how many, what we know about front offices. Think about how many people think that they can outsmart everyone. They're the smartest person in the room. Think about how he got the number one pick. How good did he feel about the trade that brought him the number one pick?
Yes.
It was a lot of luck in that, by the way, to have the number one pick.
And I credit Ryan Poles with that. But your work's not done there. Just like my work's not done for showing up today and getting on a microphone. That's not what you do. That's not the process. And that's a front office that has been very steadfast in claiming that their process is correct and sound. And what did we see? A 15-36 record out of that front office.
I would say the process is definitely not correct and sound. I think every GM has hits and misses. That's no GM is perfect.
No.
But there are a lot of GMs who are imperfect because they're much worse at finding hits, and their misses outnumber their hits. And I think right now, you could argue Ryan Poles is in misses greater than hits territory overall. And that's without Caleb Williams in the picture.
I think it even comes down to a little bit of a finer this or that. I think it comes down to, there are GMs who have bought themselves the capital to take really big swings and miss, like, say, John Lynch in San Francisco, where you go after Trey Lance and you trade up. But because of your success, it doesn't matter as much. It's not catastrophic. And then there are GMs who want to take those risks, but they don't have enough infrastructure around them to withstand them. And I unfortunately think that is where Ryan Poles fits in all of this right now. Like I've said, I am thrilled for the day I see him prove that theory wrong. I'm thrilled for the day that the Bears win. I still think that this is a team that should, at this point in the development, win 10 games. I've said it before. And I'm not saying that to hold him to the fire. I'm saying that to hold him to that standard, because I think that he's earned that standard. But in this case, when the quote is, we're drafting him no matter what, and you just heard how your dad would consider playing in the UFL, that Caleb Williams might have been in the UFL
how seriously,
to not play for the Bears.
How seriously do you take that when you read that?
Very, because why wouldn't you just hang out in Los Angeles another year?
Well, you're definitely going to make more money in Los Angeles playing for USC than you would in the UFL.
Always been Southern California's pro team. Let's not forget it.
So that's why I take that, not with even a grain of salt, but I'm just like, how serious were you about? There were several different options. That option seems a little far-fetched. But I'll say this. What you're talking about with the...
But it's in the book, though.
No, I got you. With the organization's ability to develop Caleb Williams and thinking that they did have the infrastructure in place to just drop him in, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of why they did not draft Jalen Carter. Because you said you weren't ready for that. You didn't have
the... You did not have the infrastructure.
And I think they thought...
To take that risk.
I think they thought they were there, where they felt like, okay, we're good now. We can take a guy like Caleb Williams, and we can drop him in, and everything's going to be fine.
But listen, we had so many good texts yesterday where people are rewinding the information in their brain, and you're going back over things that people said or situations that unfolded. And you have this information now, and you're asking these questions. And there's a lot of people on the text line who said, why would you want somebody who doesn't want to be here? And clearly the Bears thought that the talent Caleb Williams has is more important than the desire that he had reportedly temporarily to not want to be here. But at least in those moments, you try to do some due diligence. You try to have a backup plan. You at least try to scout Jaden Daniels. And I would have said this regardless of how many yards he got, regardless of how many games they won. It looks worse because of that. It looks worse because he went to the playoffs.
It definitely looks worse because of all the success he had as the offensive rookie of the year last year.
We haven't even discussed the Cliff Kingsbury part of this, too, by the way.
Well, I think
about the Cliff Kingsbury discussion, knowing this information.
I think Cliff Kingsbury... I think he knew he didn't want to be involved with what Matt Eberflus was doing. I think his answer when asked about that the week of the Washington-Chicago Bears game told us everything we need to know by how he addressed the situation. I think that Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles on top of him, they might have interviewed a bunch of people, but their decision was faulty, flawed, terrible, however you want to phrase it.
Overconfident.
Overconfident. The whole process to me seems very overconfident.
And you know how I know it's also overconfident? Because the same agent represented your GM, your head coach, and your offensive coordinator who the quarterback openly questioned.
You can go back
to... One-stop shop.
You can go back to the Luke Getsy piece of this. Obviously, Shane Waldron. The fact that you had Thomas Brown in the building and they waited so long before making a change. I think all of those things are indications that they weren't running a tight enough ship, and they weren't truly evaluating what Caleb Williams needed in that moment. They chalked too much up to growing pains as opposed to the structure that can make sure he got where he needed to go.
Because we did not have transition with Molly and Haw, you may not know what's on our show today. This segment, by the way, is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Yes, we know it's Crosstown Day. That's why I wore my Chicago shirt.
Oh, is that why? I just thought you love Chicago when it's beautiful in the summertime.
Both. I was finally happy because I was like, oh, it's a little warm outside yesterday as I was walking around. I still had pants on. Apparently it was 94. I love it. Put it straight to my veins. We'll talk Bears for the next two segments. Mark Grody joins us at 11 o'clock because we need to play a little game of Receipts Rahimi. We need to go over some sound that we have all heard, you and me, Marshall, as a collective media group, and kind of revisit that, knowing this information. Ryan McGuffey of the Recap podcast, as you know, and also, of course, a frequent guest and host on this station. We'll talk Crosstown with us because Ozzy took out the flamethrower this morning on Mully and Haas, and we want to bring it back. At 11:45, we'll talk more Cubs and Sox as well. Some interesting thoughts from Ron Coomer as we get ready for it. 12 o'clock is 5 on it. And then at 12:25, we will continue to preview Crosstown. We are the Cubs station, as you know, so we'll hear from Craig Counsell. We'll go over the lineups. Cubs pregame is at 12:45 for what should be an absolutely beautiful day and what we think is going to be an exciting series at Wrigley, do we not?
I just want to point out, 708 on the text line, 94 is a little warm, quote, quoting you what you just said about a little warm. She's from Texas. She's good with 110.
No, it really has to do with my personal issues. Like 75 or less. My nose is running. I'm sorry, guys. Some of us are just built for some things rather than others.
That's crazy. Nose running at 75, under 75 is crazy.
Listen here. The world is going in one direction. Call me with tips, okay? I'm here to help you out. But in the meantime, it is going to be a great day for baseball. It is going to be a great day to discuss this. It's a good day for information, and it is a great day to be with you.